Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon, Professor Titi and Dr. Northcott. Thank you for coming here to listen to my speech of the intervention of domestic courts in Chinese international commercial and investment arbitration. As is widely recognized, the intervention of court and arbitration is a very delicate issue. Sometimes when the court adopts a more supportive view, the arbitration will be prosperous. However, when the court intervenes too much into arbitration, the arbitration's popularity may decline. So today's topic is very important in understanding Chinese arbitration or the enforcement of foreign arbitral awards in China. This sign is a symbol of law in China. I just put it here for being interesting. This is a unicorn. In China, this is called zhi. In the old times, when people believed that this kind of monster or animal or can decide who is the criminal in a criminal case, if he because he can he this animal has a godly power, so when he saw two parties, when he saw two parties in a criminal dispute, he will point his unicorn to this criminal one, to this non-innocent one. This topic is a part of my doctor dissertation. It's called The Allocation of Powers Among Actors in Chinese Arbitration. As it is a part of my paper, I think I need to introduce my paper a little bit to clarify some introduction questions. My paper will start with this introduction of what is power, what is actors, why it is important. And then I will introduce a little bit theoretical background of this paper, because Chinese culture and Chinese legal system is very different from the legal system in your country. So, and the fundamental philosophy of people's mentality is also different. I think it's very important to put a little bit theoretical background of Chinese view to the world here. And today I'm going to talk about the two second and third part, the a little bit history and the legal system very shortly, and the main part is the power of the domestic court. Then we can begin. Why is allocation of power among actors important? As 1.5 years ago, I started to doing research into Chinese international arbitration. I found there are many details which are significantly different from the international practice. I was thinking of the reason. Then I found the allocation of power is the reason why Chinese arbitration is so different. Before I jump into the definition of power, we should know who are the actors. And shortly, we can take a look at who are the participants, the potential participants in an arbitration procedure. Of course, there should be two disputing parties. When they have a problem, they will appoint an arbitral tribunal or a sole arbitrator in ad hoc arbitration or under the auspices of an arbitration institution. Then, when they need to enforce the domestic, the foreign award or domestic award, they need the assistant from the domestic courts. However, there is one more participant in arbitration, in my opinion. They are the indirect participant, the policymakers, because these people, these participants, conduct in a set of rules. And the rulemakers, of course, participate in arbitration to a very large extent. For example, the legislators or the international organizations, which the countries participate in international convention. An ideal structure of these participants are in an equal structure. The disputing parties go to the tribunal for and appoint arbitrators who they like. Then the arbitrators will make an award. If they need to enforce the award, the domestic court will participate in the enforcement under domestic and international legal sources. However, The situation in China is dramatically different. When disputing parties have a problem, if they want to appoint a Chinese arbitrator, they cannot appoint ad hoc arbitrator. They need to go to the arbitration commissions and appoint the arbitrators provided by the commission. They cannot choose whoever they like. And secondly, the arbitration commissions are not in an equal position with the domestic courts. The domestic courts has a superior role in deciding many issues regarding to arbitration, which I'm going to talk about later. And the domestic courts is not totally independent in China as in many Western countries. The decision of the domestic courts are largely decided by the policymakers, namely the Communist Party of China. However, I put foreign award here because under New York Convention, the foreign award must be enforced under international standard. But anyhow, the enforcement of foreign award is also influenced by the policymakers. So I found this structure is really interesting and very unique in the international arbitration practice, because this structure can determine many different things. So I want to study this very powerful participants in Chinese arbitration, the Communist Party, Communist Party's role in this policy making, the domestic courts, also the arbitration commissions. I put arbitration commissions here because the arbitral tribunals need to practice under the auspices of the arbitration commissions. And these three are the actors in my paper. So how can I define the power? I mean, of course, the government can make decision to be more friendly to the foreign investment or less friendly to the foreign investment. And the domestic courts can influence the enforcement of arbitral awards more or less. They can, sometimes they are more friendly, sometimes not. And the arbitration commissions also has some limited power in this structure. So the definition of power is the first problem I met in this dissertation. There are very famous definitions of power, like the Leavesian of Hobbes, that the present means to obtain future good is power, or the very famous power definition in China by Chairman Mao, political powers grows from the barons of a gun. Actually, for many decades or centuries, the definition of power is only limited in political power. But in my paper, this power is more widely defined. I borrowed the definition of Stephen Luke's from 1980s. He defined power in three dimensions, not only political power, but also judicial competence, and also the influence the arbitration commission can place in this structure. The importance of the study is, in China, there are two sets of rules. According to a very new study, these two rules are called the written but soft rules and the under table practical rules. In China, there are many rules written in books, written in documents. There are many legislations, but people don't follow that. Partly it was because China is a very new country and the belief in law is not established yet. Partly it was because China is not totally a country rule of law. People believe in this under table practical rules more than the written rules. This importance of this paper is going to analyze why there are these under table rules, because rules are usually written by the power of the stronger. So if we can understand who are the powerful actors and who can make the rules, we will understand the rules a little bit more. It's both significant for theoretical study and for investment practitioners. Now I will talk about very shortly about the history of arbitration in China. In China, because the ancient rulers, the ancient emperors believed that if they want to achieve the harmony of a society, if they want to create a good ruling in their time, they must achieve one goal. It's called no litigation. So litigation, civil litigation, was considered to be really ungraceful. And there has been a long tradition of mediation. If two civil parties had a dispute, and they must be mediated first. Mediation was compulsory. If they went to the civil court without mediation, they would be punished for being not graceful. And this practice has been existed for thousands of years, but China experienced a very huge historical event in the 19th century when the Western countries started to colonization. During the 19th century and the beginning of the 20th century, China was half colonized, however, half feudal society. During that time, many Western ideas went to China and people started to adapt to these Western ideas. For example, in the last dynasty of China, Qin Dynasty, the Chamber of Commerce was established under the invitation of the British invaders in 1904. And now we talk about briefly the important events in PRC arbitration, the People's Republic of China. In the 50s, China was newly established, and Foreign Trade Arbitration Commission and Maritime Commission was established. But at that time, they were not independent arbitration institutions. They were a part of the central government. And in the 1980s, China started open door policy, and the AFTAC changed into the CTAC, which is known by many people here now. And Chinese arbitration law was legislated in 1994. You can see it's really, really new. It's less than 20 years. Some people don't even know arbitration. Before I talk about the court intervention, there is one small thing I need to specify here about the legal framework. The law legislated by the National People's Congress, of course, it's National People's Congress in China, it's like the national parliament in Germany or in many other Western countries. So this is a legislative body. And of course, there are administrative regulations promulgated by the State Council, the central government. However, the tricky part is the judicial interpretation of the Supreme People's Court, because it is very important to distinguish legislation from jurisdiction. But China, judges can make law. It was started all from 1930s when Communist Party didn't conquer all China, just established some small foundations. And they need law. They didn't want the law from the Kuomintang, the other party, the other ruling party at that time of China. But there was no law at that time. So Chinese Communist Party established some courts, and these courts make regulations themselves. This was lasted until 1970s, because even after China was established, China went through some really difficult times in history, like the Great Leap or the Cultural Revolution, when the Communist Party wanted to destroy everything old and create everything new. So at that time, China was lawless. Since this all situation was changed in the beginning of 1980, because China decided to open the door to the rest of the world for foreign investment. From that time, the legislators were really busy. because the society was under undergoing a totally different economic system. The social you have to embody a market economy in a socialist system. So everything seemed to be contradictory, and everything was changing every 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, when the foreign investment grew more and more in China, and the people's mentality grew more and more different. So the legislators couldn't adapt to these fast changes. When the judges were sitting for cases, the law was already out of time. So the judges started to interpret the law. At first, they only interpret the original wording of the law, but later they start to make the law. As this making law by the judges is considered to be a preparation and explanation for this formal legislation. However, it's caused a huge problem. It's called the lazy legislators. Because even now, two, 3 years ago, China published the newest marriage law. And this newest marriage law was accompanied by a set of judicial interpretations. For this paper, the interpretation of the arbitration law by the Supreme People's Court is very important, because the interpretation was published in 2003. It changed many things in the arbitration law of 1994. Now, how do the court exercise their power in China? There are three problems I want to talk about here, about the jurisdiction dispute between the courts and the procurators, and the what kind of court can sit, can enforce a foreign arbitral award in China, and moreover, their very special prior reporting system in China, which I'm going to talk about very soon. The judicial branch of China is divided into two parts. First is the courts. They hear cases, both criminal or civil, for the first and second instances. However, there is another branch, it's called the People's Procurators. Sometimes they can represent the country to sue the criminals, but one of their other functions is to supervise the court. If there is any illegal activities in the exercise of the court, the procurators can start a retrial procedure to ask the court to retrial the case they have tried already. So there was a very funny situation in 2000, December 12th. The High Court of Inner Mongolia decided to not to set aside an arbitral award upon the party's request. However, the High Procurator Office of Inner Mongolia jumped out. They say, we want to object the ruling and we want you to retrial the case again. Inner Mongolia High Court submitted this situation, reported to the Supreme People's Court, and Supreme People's Court said, this objection is not acceptable because it was already the year of 2000, and there were still huge misunderstanding of arbitration. Arbitration is not a part of jurisdiction. It is a means of alternative dispute resolution. It is a hugely different kind of dispute resolution method from the court. Of course, international conventions or domestic laws entrusted the domestic court to assist the enforcement of arbitration award, but it doesn't mean that arbitration is part of litigation, and the procurators cannot ask the court to retrial the decisions. Then what kind of court in China can hear a foreign civil cases? There are four levels of court in China. The basic court, the intermediate court, High Court, and Supreme Court. Of course, there are four special courts. There are especially established for military secrets or other things. In China, generally, only the intermediate people's court can hear the foreign cases, because the basic people's court are considered to be not enough qualified judges. They don't have enough professional experience in international cases. So, however, because the intermediate people's court are really limited, there are not enough courts. So sometimes when a region is really prosperous in trade or commerce, the state council, the central government, and the Supreme Court will entrust some basic court, like in the East Coast area, to hear these foreign cases. Now we are talking about this very important priority reporting system. It was from 1995. The Supreme Court made a notice, questions concerning the handling of issue in relation to foreign-related arbitration and foreign arbitration. After the publication of this notice, if an intermediate people's court want to set aside and foreign arbitral award, or they want to consider an arbitration agreement as invalid, they cannot decide by themselves. They need to report to a higher level, namely the High Court. If the High Court still agree to not enforce this award, they should report to the Supreme Court and wait for the Supreme Court to make the final decision. This was made for in the name of protection foreign investment against local protectionism. But however, there are a lot of problems arisen from this system. The first problem is about the workload, because many cases about non-enforcement of foreign awards came to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court is only one branch of Supreme Court sit for civil cases. So they didn't have enough personnel to work on these things. And these cases may be delayed and delayed because there was no time limit on in what time, in under which deadline should the courts reply them. It was really time consuming. In one case, a request took 10 years to go from the local court to the intermediate court, to the High Court and Supreme Court, and finally the Supreme Court give the reply. It took 10 years. I'm not sure whether the parties were still interested in dispute or not. And another very serious problem in this is about the confidentiality, because arbitration is private. People love arbitration because it's private. They don't need to tell the public about their commercial secrets. However, the court rulings are supposed to be public in China. So in this priority reporting system, all the court decisions concerning arbitration are published. So this is a great, great damage to this confidentiality of arbitration. So after we know how the courts exercise the power, we need to know how the intervention in arbitration. There are three very important interventions from the local court. The local court can decide on the validity of arbitration agreement, and they can set barriers in the enforcement of awards. And furthermore, there is an appeal system in the local court for arbitration. It's called remitting problems to re-arbitrate. Let's start from the deciding on the validity of the arbitration agreement. It's both put in the arbitration law and the SPC's interpretation. The Article 20 of arbitration law says, if two parties want to object the validity of an arbitration agreement, they can both go to the arbitration commission and go to the court. But however, if one party go to the arbitration commission and another party go to the court, the people's court shall give the ruling. So in this sense, the people's court is superior in deciding the competence of the arbitration tribunal. As we all know, the independence of arbitration agreement is a fundamental principle for international arbitration, and the independence of the arbitration agreement naturally requires the arbitration tribunal has this power to decide on their own jurisdiction. If the court has the superior power to give the ruling, the competence is partly damaged. And so if we let the court decide, when is an arbitration agreement valid? It should express parties' wish to submit to arbitration, and they should submit the matters to be arbitrated. And the arbitration commission selected by the parties. This caused a lot of problems because in Chinese language, there is no singular form or plural form of a noun. So it both can be interpreted as commission and commissions. And furthermore, how do we interpret this arbitration commission? Because like the many foreign arbitration institutions are not named under commission, are they still can be selected by the disputing parties? And what is the outcome if the parties didn't select an exact arbitration commission? Article 18 of arbitration law said, if the party didn't agree on an arbitration institution or they appoint two arbitration institutions, the agreement will be invalid. So if two parties, they put two arbitration institutions in their arbitration agreement, this is going to be invalid. Of course, later the Supreme Court gave many interpretations on how to define how to determine the arbitration commission. For example, if it can be nonetheless determined at one place, or the applicable rules are decided, or they made the choice after the appointed two arbitration commission, but later they only choose one. And by the place of the institution, or anyway, if you can decide a specific commission, this agreement is still valid. Usually, the validity of the arbitration agreement is reviewed under the law the parties like to. The parties can choose under which proper law they want to determine the validity of their arbitration agreement. So the PRC, the Supreme Court put this interpretation here. If the parties have agreed this law, then this law will apply. Or if they didn't agree on this law, the place of the arbitration or where the court is located shall apply. However, there are traps. The first trap is about the, let's start from second one, about the proper law. Because all the foreign investment in China and all the contracts are required to be concluded in China exclusively. So Chinese law will anyway be the proper law. Secondly, there would be a moral hazard. If one party knew in advance that there are such rules, for example, a local Chinese party fooled a foreign party. They put two arbitration institutions in one contract, but later they can go to the court, local court anyway, because the local Chinese party will have more resources in this local court than a foreign arbitration venue. For example, there was a case between two companies between the mainland China and a company from Hong Kong. In the arbitration agreement, agreed that if the Chinese party want to start the arbitration, they will go to a commission in Beijing. However, if the Hong Kong party want to start the arbitration, they will go to the Hong Kong Arbitration Commission. From this wording, it looked like they appointed two arbitration commissions. But however, it's really clear that when they are going to file the suit, they will go to only one. Later, the Chinese party, from mainland China, Wuhan, initiated the litigation of the Wuhan Intermediate Court because they are local there. However, the court dismissed their litigation because they say, you have already a valid arbitration agreement. Then the party went to the Hubei High Court for an appeal. Then the High Court said, oh, your arbitration agreement is invalid because you appointed two commissions. Then according to the prior reporting system, they report to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court stated that since two arbitration institutions are appointed, the arbitration agreement is invalid. This is really unfair for this party in Hong Kong because this case is going to be heard by the Wuhan Intermediate Court anyway. So logically, this party is going to be favored more by the local court. And in another case, there was a dispute on the definition on what is an arbitration commission. A Spanish company, Orona, and a Chinese company, Dynasty, they concluded an arbitration agreement like this. So if they're going to have a dispute, their dispute is going to be heard by the International Chamber of Commerce in Paris, France. Then when they had dispute, the Spanish party brought this in front of the local court. Local court said, International Chamber of Commerce is not an arbitration commission. This is really ridiculous. Then decision was reported to the Canton High Court. The Canton High Court reported to the Supreme Court that, oh, we have two different views in our court. One court thinks the ICC is not an arbitration commission, but the other party thinks the ICC have been practiced arbitration for 80 years, so it is an arbitration institution. Then, finally, the SPC found that ICC is an international arbitration commission. So this case happened in 2002. China has already opened the door for more than 20 years. Is it really because the Foshan Intermediate People's Court didn't have enough knowledge about ICC? Perhaps there is another reason behind the jurisdiction battle between the court and the arbitration commission. The vice president of CTAC said, in his decades of practice, he found that more money the cases are concerned with and the more public influence the cases have, the more easily there will be a jurisdiction dispute. So let's talk about money. If the Chinese civil case acceptance fee is like this, it's charged by different stages. So we jump this part a little bit. If a court accepts a 10 million euro case, and the income, I mean the exception fee and the execution fee together would be 77,000 euros. And this amount can cover the annual salary of 150 judges in the most affluent area of China. Judges are poor in China, by the way. So we all understand why the court wants the cases. In the enforcement of arbitration awards, there are many potential dangers, like the nature of the dispute, the third party, and the public policy ground. For many local courts in China, they believe that arbitration can only apply to contractual dispute. If it is not a contractual dispute, you cannot apply arbitration to it. Moreover, in some investment agreement between Chinese party and a foreign party, some local courts said you can only arbitrate investment dispute. If, for example, it's a employment dispute, or you rent, you lease a room from a local Chinese house, it's a lease agreement. They are not investmental agreement, because the court uses investmental or contractual just as the word. There is no specific definition of what is an investment dispute or what is a contractual dispute. For example, in some business case, there are some fraud in economics. So this kind of fraud may be considered to be under tort law, not under contract law. And in some extreme cases, if the property in dispute is really huge, the local court can announce, you have already broken the criminal in China. So it's a criminal case, not even a civil case. The second trap people may met in this enforcement of foreign awards is the definition of the third party. In one case, a foreign party and a Chinese party established a joint venture, and then later they had dispute. So one party sued the other party and the joint venture. Then the local court said, you two parties, the Chinese and foreign parties, are the contracting parties of this contract, but the joint venture itself didn't sign on your contract, so it's a third party, so it will be invalid. And then there is another ground to refuse the enforcement of a foreign award under public policy. 15 years ago, a American brand went to China to play their music and singing. All the foreign performance need to be proved by the culture ministry in China. So the culture ministry said, you can only play this music, this piece of music, and that one. You cannot play the others. However, during the performance, the audience were really happy, so the band started to play heavy metal music. Then afterwards, the culture ministry got pissed. They say, we didn't allow you to play heavy metal music, and heavy metal music is a hurt to Chinese public policy because it's a degradation of Chinese culture. So later, the American brand filed a study arbitration against a travel agency who invited them to China, and the Supreme Court said, oh, this is a violation of Chinese public policy, so we're not going to enforce the award. Or in another case, this case which I'm writing with Emily now, it's about the so-called judicial sovereignty. So two parties had a dispute, and the local Chinese party went to a court, and the foreign party went to ICC. So both the local court and the ICC made their ruling. The ICC made an award, and the local court made a judgment. Then later, the Supreme Court, People's Court said, we have already decided on the case. It's a local case, and we have jurisdiction over our case. You made a word. You knew that we already made rulings on this case, but you still made an award. It's a challenge to our judicial sovereignty. So this is a violation of public policy. So public policy ground can be used really arbitrarily in China. Then another case is about the re-arbitrate. This is really similar to the English Arbitration Act, but there are, of course, slight differences. This re-arbitrate procedure is under the cancellation procedure. When one party want to start a procedure to challenge the award to cancel it, and there are indeed procedural irregularities in this procedure, the court may notify the original arbitral tribunal to re-arbitrate the problems. But in China, there are only one sentence in arbitration law about this. There is no specific procedure which tribunal should hear the case again, and there is no time limit. Under what time should the tribunal get re-arbitrated? And furthermore, there is no limitation on the times of the re-arbitration. So a case theoretically can be re-arbitrated again and again. There was a precedent. there was a case by the Tianjin Maritime Court in 1998. It was a consolidated hearing because the three parties A, B, and C were in the same dispute, and they initiated arbitration at Tianjin Maritime Arbitration Commission. So the arbitration commission asked them, "Oh, you are this in the same dispute. You're just three parties. Do you want to consolidate your cases?" And the parties said, "Yeah, of course. Why not? It saves a lot of time." Then, after that, the Tianjin Maritime Court asked the arbitration commission to re-arbitrate because it was considered to be irregularities in procedure. Then, the Maritime Arbitration Commission reheard these cases and divided them into A, B, and AC again, and made the exactly same award before. It was a huge waste of resources because there was no clear definition on what is a procedural irregularity and how should the arbitration tribunal hear it. So the re-arbitration, the challenge to arbitral awards, and this decisional power in the validity of arbitration agreement are the three potential difficulties for foreign parties or even for Chinese arbitration itself. So it's basically everything.